Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Mike Shope.
I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... Excuse me, I'm trying to...
Yeah.
And the bulldog.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
On WGR.
We can take these steps and show the country that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Sports Radio 550.
Get it? Feel it in our bones. Love to hear that. Boneless Auto Repair was the name of one of my teams, but I changed it to Felony or Treat. Still, that team's winning, so no scrutiny.
It was the spark they needed.
Right.
Kate shook them up.
The culture is strong, apparently.
Yeah, they felt persecuted by the name, and when you changed it, they really went hard.
They do have the yes.
The Titans really with the like, oh yeah, you hate us. I mean, can I swear on the radio now? I mean, what? I mean, just shove it. Taylor Lewan, former Sabre goalie. I mean. There are times when not being able to swear makes it very difficult to like get your point across. And I'm sorry to be so Neanderthal about it. But, I mean, screw that guy. Goon. The Titans. You talked earlier in the week. Like, what about the Titans? The rivalry. I definitely hate them now. With all this, we're the victim and all this. I mean, shut up. I hope they play the Bills in the playoffs, and I hope the Bills boat race them out of the stadium, and they go home crying. I hate the Titans now. A little swaggery, Luan's dirty. Vrabel looks like he should be getting you a pepperoni and mushroom at a pizza place in Cheektowaga. The hell with them. I'm done, sorry.
That's it?
Yeah, I'll stop there. I didn't, you know. Nothing against pizza places in Cheektowaga.
No.
Or the people who work there.
No. Be funny if you walked into one tonight and the guy there actually looks like this Bennett from The Bachelorette with the scarf and the Harvard profile. You know, that who's to say that couldn't happen? We are here for your calls, 803-0550, go until 7. Joe is up then, and Joe might have hockey on his mind. Comments from the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights that are probably not popular with Gary Bettman and other owners. Maybe they had a meeting and talked about what is coming up, and then I think perhaps the Vegas owner just went and told the media what the plan was. An all-Canadian division, if we play at all, top out at 60 games, done by June, so how many games a week is that? That's why we kept Leonard and Fleury. Pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Well, he could have gotten that from a meeting. He also could have gotten that from stuff that I've read. There's been like Pierre LeBrun and Bobby. There's been mm-hmm. enough of that out there that if you go, you know, I know we're, you know, immersed in football and rightly so, but if you seek that stuff out, like a lot of that speculation was out there. So he might just be speculating off of what some big, you know, heavyweight hockey writers have speculated about. But, you know, I would guess that it's more than that and that the hockey guys, the writers, are getting it from the fact that there were meetings and they're talking about it and this guy's telling you what was said in the meetings. That's probably it.
Unless he did make a, or they made, a decision with their roster based on that. And I don't want to believe that near 100% because I think less than a week ago there was a report they'd give someone a second-round pick to just take half of Fleury's salary. But if they did keep him in part because of that, then I would be inclined to believe it.
It's a lot more than just, yeah, Pierre LeBrun writing it. Yeah.
It's a change of direction.
No.
Hmm.
Well, that's all. I don't know about, you know, all Canadian division. You know, it's not encouraging for the border, of course. But 60 games and done by June, like I'm listening to that. like thank you. That could work for me.
What you're saying too, though, is I'll agree with it and just expand on it for a minute. We have heard and talked about how they want to get next season off on time, 21-22, with Seattle.
Right.
So okay, fine. So that's beginning of October of 21. You'd have to get 2021 over with on time then too. You wouldn't want to shorten that offseason at least by much.
Right.
So when he says end of June, I'd be like, that would have been my guess, end of June, because of that reason. And so next, if they start January 1st, what is it? Lay it out. It would be this. It would be, you know, 60 games would be about the number. That's what you'd come up with. You want to have the same playoff format, right? However long, that takes 2 months or whatever it does.
Yeah,
so end of April, be done by the end of April. Start on January 1st. If you, whatever, this is going to be like 15 weeks, 60 games. Four games a week. Yeah, that's what it comes to. So, like if you and I sat, all I'm saying is if you and I sat down and said, how do they start January 1st and get next year off on time? This is the only way you do it. Without changing the format of your league, this is what you would end up at.
Right, yeah. You can push the cup final to the end of June. You can push free agency to July 8th and the draft to a couple days after that and still have, you know, enough time for everybody to go enjoy their cottages in Thunder Bay or whatever. And then, you know, middle of September, get back to start up on time. For the launch of your new expansion team. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
So, imagining Joe is going to talk about this more at 7, tune in for that. Here is Lou with us on WGR. Hi, Lou.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Lou. Thanks for calling.
Just want to let you know, I'm kind of new to your show. I really enjoy it, though. I was a walk-on at Syracuse, played back in the day, and when I like to say, I don't want to talk about Syracuse at all because they are terrible this year, but I had a quick question. I haven't heard about it, and I've been working all day. In the fourth quarter yesterday, when we came down and scored to get it to, I don't know what it was.
It was a 12-point game.
12-point game. Was there any talk of, why didn't we just kick the extra point and kind of keep the momentum going? Is there any talk of that? And that we went for two right away, and I was kind of saying, you know what, I'm thinking, holy shit, this has been a...
Whoa, Lou.
Oh, sorry. Wait. I'm saying, this has been a tough game. We've had all these breaks gone wrong. Finally, we get in and score. It took us 6 minutes or so. Why not just kick the extra point and then say, okay, boys.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Because they don't decide that based on things like momentum. They do it based on math. And the math supports it. If you get the two, you know you're going to need, whatever, 18 points. So if you get the two, you get the more information. Now I know I can tie with 10. And if I don't get it, I'm going to need two touchdowns, which I would, you know, that helps me figure out down the road when I'm using my timeouts, play calling, all that kind of stuff. So when you're behind that, you want to go for two earlier or else you're just going to, you know, deprive yourself of information you wish you had.
So that's the statistically call to make it. And I know what you're saying. I know mathematically it's there. But either way, though, I was just thinking, either way, we were going to have to we need to score two touchdowns. One of them we need to go on two. Is there any talk, or am I just, I mean, you can say.
We have not talked about it today, but it's not a bad question. It's just the answer is simple. Yeah. The math is what matters. That's it. That's the end of it.
This is the talk. You're providing the talk, Lou, so it's fine. But it hasn't come up, and it's become more and more common in the league for teams to do that. And, you know, you still get announcers criticizing it at times, but you have certainty that way about what you're going to need rather than saving it for the end. And then if you don't get it, you don't have any more time to make it up. If you get it, then great. You got it. Put it in your pocket. You don't get it, then you play accordingly from there. If you wait till the end and the play doesn't work, you lose. And, like, you know, you just want to leave yourself a little more rope.
That's it. Another play where Allen doesn't run, the 2-point play. It's a pass to Beasley that doesn't work out. So earlier on the show, Lou, thanks for calling. That hadn't come up today on our show, but that means nothing. The stuff that does come up on our show sometimes is ridiculously trivial and is no measure of what's interesting or what matters to people. So don't go by that. This is a good topic, the 2-point conversion. Earlier on today's show, for example, I mentioned how Mississippi State is number one in the country in football. They aren't. They lost to Kentucky 24-2. They have two losses. They're not even close to that. And I figured out why I made this mistake.
Okay.
Because it was just the six-year anniversary of their being number one.
Oh.
And I saw that and didn't read the article. So I'm like, oh, Mississippi State, interesting. And
they
just stayed
with me. They were number
one
that recently. Wow.
Yeah. I don't press me on this. I'm clearly not the authority on this.
Like, I think Dak Prescott would have been their quarterback then.
Maybe.
Right? He's not that far into his career.
I'm better at Ole Miss than I am at Mississippi State.
I think 6 years ago he would have been their QB.
How many years ago is Chad Kelly, Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Dawson Knox?
DK Metcalf was a rookie last year.
So 2 years ago? Two or three?
Yeah.
2 years ago, it would have been 2019 when he couldn't run that cone drill. And people left him as a top prospect because he couldn't run the cone drill.
Yep.
He is amazingly good.
Yeah, he is.
DK Metcalf. That is a guy you want. We should have drafted him. Seattle has Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf, who were both, in different ways, players that you go, why didn't everybody want them? Yeah. But everybody passed on both of them. And they look like they could, you know, terrorize the league forever. They look like they're really good. I mean, those two guys could be a tandem for the ages. Lockett is good there, too. But, like, Wilson and Metcalf, how'd you like to have to tackle that guy? Metcalf.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. How would you like to have to tackle Derrick Henry? I mean, I know they did a good job on him, but, like, poor Josh Norman. I mean, he just got his soul harvested by Derrick Henry last night. It was brutal. Good God.
The whole
stadium made a sound. And I know it's only, like, what, 8,000 people or so, whatever. The whole stadium made a sound you just never hear in a football game. It was awe and also sort of sorrow for the guy, like wow! that poor guy.
Yeah, you're right. Norman, it seemed like he battled, but holy cow. The guy really fell off. Playing for Washington, and the Bills signing him was curious. McDermott knew him, but that was one, for as much credit as the Bills have gotten for their moves, like that was one that was seemingly always dubious. They are thin, though. Like they lose Tre'Davious White, and you know already there were questions all season. There have been questions what Miami did, you know, like what is this team in the secondary? So that is an issue. Let's go to Mark next. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Good, I got a question. If somebody already asked, I apologize, but against one of the worst run defenses, and if somebody asked already, why did we not run the ball against this team?
They tried, they couldn't. They weren't terrible at it. They were terrible at it. It's another thing that they were bad at last night.
Yeah, and each back should have more than 15 carries. Do you agree, disagree?
Well, when I'm 11 for 25, what's the point of four more carries for 6 yards?
I guess I see your point, right?
You know, Allen is their best runner by a lot. He has been since he got here. They've stopped using him. I mean, that's the story for me, Mark. The running the ball thing is not my area. This team got good by finally realizing that throwing the ball is the path. And last night, they started the game with Devin Singletary running up the middle twice, and then they got picked off. In the second quarter, after it was 14-7, they're marching down the field, Allen this, Allen that, Allen this, Allen that. Then they get into scoring position, T.J. Yeldon up the middle, T.J. Yeldon up the middle, incomplete field goal. All Tennessee from that point forward. I do not need to establish the run. I do not need to run the ball for the sake of it. Teams that win because their running backs carry the ball X amount of times do so because they're ahead. So they give the ball to the running back X amount of times. No, the Bills did what they did these first four games by throwing the ball, spreading the field, letting Josh Allen loose. Last night, it was a little bit less of that. And they got trounced. Coincidence?
Well, I mean, Tennessee did a good job of taking that away, which is why you want to run to get them out of that so you can then start doing that. And like that, but it didn't work. That was the problem. And they got to a solution, which was Beasley underneath, which isn't running. It's passing, but at least it was moving the ball. But it's, you know, you need time for that. And, you know, they got so far behind that they kind of had to abandon that, too. Like, they had that for one drive. It was like four straight passes, Beasley, Beasley, Beasley. Maybe it was three. I only said three. But, like, that was an adjustment that came along, I think, too late for them. They needed that in the first half.
Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. I'm sort of seeing myself yelling there. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just sort of, like, trying to get this point across that is important, and we should get it and know it. And, like, that's how the Bills arrived at this new place where, like, are they a top five team in the NFL? You know, not a team that's, like, we'd love to score 50 points, but 17 is probably more realistic, and hopefully we can give up 16. Come on. It's a new sport. Hey, real quick. We didn't talk about Joe Morgan.
No, that was...
Dying. Yeah. And now it's really short, and I don't know. It's like, nobody's out there going, when are these guys going to talk about Joe Morgan? But did you do...
Oh, yeah.
The little flip with your elbow?
100%.
Joe Morgan, like,
yeah,
he's a very interesting figure to me, like, as a player and an announcer. Controversial. Jay Jaffe wrote how it was just sad and maybe ironic that Morgan, the announcer, never really understood why he, the player, was so great. because of the many ways that he was, you know, such a great player. But, like, Joe Morgan, here's what happened, I guess. I also read this from Jay Jaffe at Fangraphs. Morgan had this habit at the plate. He was a left-handed batter, right? Joe, you can see me. Left-handed batter. And he would do this with his back elbow right before the pitch. Like, he would just sort of, like, what do they call it? Like, a chicken wing or something?
Yeah, wing flap. Yeah, duck wing, whatever. Like, yeah. Wing flap, yeah.
So he's got the bat up, and he would just sort of flex his left elbow back and like against his body and bounce it back up just to get ready for the pitch. And so why did he do that?
Timing? Keep his arm where he wanted it. I don't know why.
I'm gonna guess no reason whatsoever.
No, it's kind of it. Bulldog said it. Nelly Fox, who they played together in Houston, he was an old player when Morgan was a young player, and Fox helped him. He like always lauded Nelly Fox, even in his retirement, his Hall of Fame ceremony. And Morgan said that Fox told him how his back elbow would get too low, and so Morgan would do that to remind himself to keep his elbow up. My kids play Little League Baseball. Your kids played Little League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
At every game you've ever been to, one of the parents or coaches yells out to one of the kids, keep your elbow up. My kids don't keep their elbow up. Like, I got to yell it out. Keep your elbow up.
Right.
Like, it's a memory that it's our dads haunting us from the past. Keep your elbow up. So Nelly Fox told Joe Morgan, keep your elbow up. And that's what he would do to accomplish that. What a great player. And this is six Baseball Hall of Famers who have died this year. Five in the last, like, 6 weeks. Kind of crazy. All right, back to football. Tyler Dunn, on the Bills' loss, the AFC, and a little bit on Aaron Rodgers, because Tyler wrote that amazing article about Green Bay last year, and here's Rodgers sort of having a year so far, getting back at everybody or something. Bring that up, too. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.